Welcome to the Wander Well Living Podcast, where we explore the highs and lows of life and the intricate spaces in between. In that vein, we examine inspiring figures and go through their journey throughout life. Today, we have four-time NBA champion, vegan activist, John Sally. Welcome to the show.
Good to see you. Good to see you. How are things going?
Life is grand.
Wonderful.
Life is grand.
This is a nice chair.
Right? Comfortable. I wanted to ask you your general disposition since I've met you. Yeah. You've always been easygoing, open to ideas, open to just new thought. I remember the first time I met you was on set at KTLA. Probably like maybe first year in LA. And you just came over to us and you were just very welcoming and inviting. To people that you didn't really know and are newcomers in the industry. Where do you get that mindset from?
I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. So I'm used to waking people up at, 10 o'clock on a Saturday. This is the deal, man. I just realized life is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm from Brooklyn, New York. A friend of mine, his wife and daughter are here. But I grew up with this guy named Neil. We were the second black family in the project, understand. Now, there he is right there. Don't say anything, I'm on camera. But Neil was literally...
I used to be here in basketball.
You could be here in basketball. He's 80 years old.
He looks good.
Roll him over here. But, just growing up in that neighborhood didn't make me afraid of white folks. Which I think a lot of black people are very suspect, and I'm not saying we shouldn't be, but it didn't put me in a position of being afraid of anyone. And I realized that this was the only life I had. I used to hang out with like 14 guys, 13 are now dead before, and 7 before I was 25, even in that neighborhood. So I realized that, and it's a secret I want to tell everybody here, none of us get out alive. In case you think you do, you don't. So while you're here, it's just like being in this room, right? One day, each of us are going to walk through that door. So while you're here, and you don't know when you're going to walk through the door, it might as well be pleasant. There's no reason to be an a-hole or literally being on yourself. It's hills and valleys, man. There's all kinds. So be the best you can possibly be is the best religion.
Has that impacted over the course of your career for NBA, several NBA teams for NBA championships, and vegan activism, acting as well? Has it impacted the way you define success?
Yeah, it's so funny. Success is dreaming of something, then deciding that dream should be a reality, and then the reality. That's it. That's success, right? It's not what comes out. Like, one of my problems was by 36 I had accomplished all of my dreams, and I was like, what do you do now?
Yeah.
So I had to start over, and this year I'm going to be 60, and I told my wife I'm going to do the next 30 different. She said, you've been doing this 30 different, but I'm going to do next 30 different, and then the next 30 after that I'm going to do different. Yeah. So just my thought process. So in order to get to that 60, you have to do what we call in basketball fundamentals. That means you have to take care of this vessel. The best way of taking care of this vessel is how you feed it, how you clean it, how you keep it from, if we was in Star Trek, I know some of you may not know it as a TV show, but as a movie, just think of it. They had deflector shields. Now the deflector shields are for bullshit, right? You gotta put those deflector shields up because not everything somebody throws at you is for you, and rejection is protection. So you gotta take care of the spaceship. You gotta make sure your deflector shields are great. Then you have to make sure whatever you're using to power this vessel is pure and the vessel thrives off of it. Now, if you eat something dead and this thing needs things that are alive, you are not taking care of your vessel. So that's the plain thing. Yeah, we shouldn't eat animals because everything is of God kind, but also it's not good for you. And if anybody thinks you need animal muscle inside your body, or animal parasites, I'm sorry, fish inside your body, or pork, which is the most destructive, stays in your body for 2 years. If you feel that those things, oh, but they taste so good, then you should just lick them and put them down. Right? You shouldn't ingest it. If it's just the taste, just get the taste. Your tongue is the taste. Bitter, sour, sweet. When it goes inside this unbelievable organism, you wouldn't, if you had a Ferrari, so mine happens to be a Formula One car, but if you have even a Toyota and you want it to last, you're gonna make sure it has oil where it's supposed to be, you're gonna make sure the brakes are great, you're gonna make sure you have thread on your tires, you're gonna make sure it's clean, you should make sure you have enough gas, and you will have a car that will last 460,000 miles. Or more, if you take care of it. So I look at it, I take care of my body like I would take care of a Formula One car. Race it on Saturday, lucky wife, no, race it on Saturday, and then take it apart on Sunday, make sure if anything needs to be changed, put it back together during the week, during the practice. So in order to do that, you have to take care of this. Then as far as, like you said, being an actor, when I used to watch movies, I used to say, I want to do that. And you know, then I grew to 7 foot and somebody told me I couldn't do it. And that's, I love that. Because if somebody outside of you tells you you can't do somebody, that definitely means you can do it. If they say you can't, how could somebody tell you what you don't know? So everything I've ever wanted to do, I put my mind to it and I do it.
And when you've been fighting that vegan fight for a while now, what has been one of the biggest misconceptions you've had to fight over these years about veganism?
That I was fighting. That was the biggest misconception. Let me tell you, started in 1991. I was a lying vegetarian, meaning I had shrimp and turkey. And if my mother made fried chicken, you know, I can't turn down Maisie's fried chicken meal. Can you turn down Maisie? Yeah, so you can't turn that down. And, you know, that was my excuse. Yeah. And then in 2005, 2006, I was like 42 years old, and I said, tired of being a liar. So I'm not gonna lie anymore. And to take that on, I was studying with a Scientologist for about 3 years. I did everything in Hollywood except go to parties.
That's good.
And I didn't go to the parties. Thank God. I went to a couple parties, but they wasn't popular.
I'm great.
So I got it, everyone wanted to ask me about the Lakers. I'm like, dude, that girl doesn't have a breath. But here in being an actor, I said, how could you tell me I can't do this? And then the great Michael Bay figured out how to get me in the scene. And then I did a movie with Whoopi Goldberg. And then since then, I've done 13 movies, something like that. Like 66 TV
Bad
shows.
Boys, yeah.
Yeah, I'm on DR from Detroit right now. I play the role of the bad guy, which I liked. Because I never get to, you know, flex my skill, if there is any. And then Bad Boys 4 is coming out, and I got probably the most memorable part in 4. I'm not bragging, I'm just saying. I kind of, you know, was lucky Will was so gracious by making sure I was in this one. And Martin. But it's just, tons of times when I wanted to do something, I literally set my intention, and that's it. And let me tell you, I say this when I watch TikTok and I hear about Bashar, you are the universe. So it's your universe, it's your world. It's serious, it's just your world. So it's what you want to do, how you want to get done.
Yeah, I want to go back to that moment. You're 36, you've accomplished everything that you wanted to at that time. And you realize you had to kind of retool.
Yeah.
What was that moment like? Was there a moment that you kind of just, you said, I need to do something different here? What did that moment look like? What was the hard work of getting to the moment where you said, I'm going to retool and do it differently?
So, you know, no one talks about it, but professional athletes go through an unbelievable amount of depression when it's over. And guns sometimes get involved. Think about what am I going to do now? And I always knew, you know, I wanted to be in Hollywood, I wanted to be on television, and I knew sports was the angle to get into it. That's how O.J. Simpson did it. That's how Jim Brown did it. So many top athletes get to a point and then they go into television. I just didn't want to just be subject to sports. So it was definitely a lot of depression. I think it's 71% of professional athletes get divorced 3 years after they finish playing because, you know, they don't know their wife. You know what I'm saying? They get home and you go, who fixed the bulb? Shit, who did that? What? Who was over here fixing bulbs? You know, you run into all kind of things you can't deal with. Me, I got into yoga early. So by 1997, 98, I did a yoga DVD. I was in Pilates. I brought my wife right down here in West Hollywood to the Pilates Center, which is no longer there now. It's a different gym, but now my wife is a certified Pilates instructor. She's no joke. And Natasha S on Instagram. Trust me, she's no joke. Because we got the reform in the house, and you know, after you work out, you just don't talk to her. And she loves the looks. You know, I don't call her out her name, but I will not call her anything. I don't talk to her for about an hour. So I've been always taking care of this avatar. I've been figuring out how to do it, what to put in it, how to keep it going. I'd say that's what I did. I just readily said, okay, what's next? So like now, I did ayahuasca in 2018, best experience of my life. I only had to do it once. Everybody else is doing all these other trips. I just figured out what to do in this reality, since I realized all reality is when I did ayahuasca. But I figured out what to do in this reality, and it's, you know, how to live the best you can be. Like, you know me, like, we at the Natural Food Expo, we're seeing different products. I've always liked interviewing with you. That's why when you asked, I said yes. There's products out there that should be seen. There's products that could help you. There's products that are great. I don't ever talk about the ones that I don't agree with, because there's no reason to give them any light.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So I only shine the light that I have on things that I feel are great for you. Now, they don't always have to be great. I also smoke cigars, drink scotch, and rum. And I'm not even going to say in moderation. I do all of the different things, but I make sure I keep this avatar as clean as I possibly can. I'm not going to be like, hey, you can't have this. I would never tell you that. My mother lived in 96, and she only ate my diet for like 6 months. But those 6 months gave her an extra 18 years. I'm bragging. 18 out of 96. And just certain people are, you know, going to be blessed with it. God forbid anything happen to you on the street, but if you just have time to take care of you, just take care of you.
Was that something that you ever struggled with or had to find grace for yourself when you said, I am doing these things that I enjoy to indulge, and I'm doing, on the other side, I'm doing the things to keep my avatar healthy. What, did you ever have to negotiate that within yourself and say, this is okay?
No, this is why. If a place is too clean, it's detrimental to the society, to everything else. You have to interact with everything. This is why your body has an immune system. So if anything attacks your immune, you strengthen your immune system and nothing can be impervious to any other army. So you just have to make sure that you know how to take care of it. Now, if you snort cocaine, you're going to ruin your nasal for that. You know what I'm saying? And it may have fentanyl in it. I'm just saying. Right, so there's no reason to get that up. I never snorted cocaine. One of my best friends, Len Bias, died the day after the draft. And you couldn't get somebody on cocaine near me. You know, I was blessed and cursed to have all kind of lessons. But if you get drunk, all it's gonna do is poison your liver for 6 hours and then you're gonna clean your liver. Right? It's your sponge. It's designed to deal with that. But if you keep drinking, you're going to destroy the liver. You can't live without that. So just be smart.
I think you had mentioned one of the people that kind of set you down this path of healthy living to a certain degree with Adrian Dantley,
yeah.
Who was a mentor in some ways. Can you tell me the importance of mentorship and how you've approached it since that moment throughout your life?
Yeah, Adrian Dantley was a great player, over 10,000 points in the NBA, led the NBA in scoring. He was, I call him teacher, and he was a great scorer. I learned a lot about him, how to be a professional. At lunchtime, he said, "Rookie, I'm on my way to Milwaukee." And so back then, we weren't so big time like they are now, like athletes. We still have buses, but back then you walked across the street with your sneakers in your hand to go play the game and walk back to the Holiday Inn. We were at Holiday Inn. So it was way less attention. And AD said, "I'm gonna buy you lunch." And I said, "You're gonna buy me lunch?" Yeah, he said, "Get whatever you want." And I ordered a cheeseburger, french fries, strawberry shake. He just laughed, and he ordered soup with a half a salad, half a sandwich, and told me to bring the other half of the sandwich and more soup for 4:30. I was like, whatever, I ain't gonna have to eat, I'm good. So I eat that, and you know, you get tired. We have to be across the street by 6 o'clock. He's up eating at 4, he's already headed over there at 4:45. So the trainer has to be there an hour early. And I get up, man, I can barely move. I grab my bag, I make sure I got everything, and I slumber across the street. And there's a guy named Jack Sigmar, who's a tall white guy, and Randy Brewer, another tall white dude. They were slow as snails. They were lumbering when they moved slow. They destroyed me. They were just destroying me. And Chuck Daly's, "What? Are you supposed to be defense? I told you what he was going to do. He's beating you up and down the court." And I sit down, and AD goes, "How's that cheeseburger treat?" And I was like, he said, "No, you eat meat, that's not going to come out for at least 2 days, maybe 4. There's no energy in that. That's why you have no energy." He goes, "You have to learn how to eat." And that was his lesson. And it happened in real time. And since then, I'm 251 today. I played at 250. I was 250 at 25. I'm 250 at 59. I don't need extra rims on a car. You know what I'm saying? I keep the stock wheels. I don't need to pimp out my ride. So, and I needed to stay the way it looked at 25. It's not as tight as it was at 25. Just, you know, 35 more days of Pilates, and I would be right. But it's damn near close. So that was the lesson with Adrian Dantley. But let me tell you, the other lesson is when I watched the change in people that literally decide, "I'm going to drink water with salt in it. I'm going to eat vegetables. I'm going to eat majority of fruit. I'm going to walk. I'm going to do some exercise." It looks like time reverses, and that's what I meant to talk.
And I think maybe this was also inspired by Adrian, but let's go back to a painful moment. Basketball, you guys get swept by the Bulls. Most of your team decides to go back into the locker room, but you stay on the court to congratulate the members of the Bulls. Where did that mindset come from, especially in light of everyone else doing the opposite?
"I needed tickets for the championship game." Negotiating, "Yo, man, you give me 2 tickets. I'm gonna just go on today." No, Michael Jordan has been my friend since 1983, 82. He's my fraternity brother, Omega Psi Phi Incorporated. He was my friend then, like, 89, I was doing the John Sally show. I went and picked him up from the hotel. I said, "I'm gonna buy you dinner, just do my show." He sits down, we do my talk show, pilot or whatever it was in Detroit. It was hilarious, but my friend did this interview, and I had to watch my friend. There was a time, like, you know, I'm gonna hang out with him after. We're in Chicago one year, and man, we beat him, and they just thought they had us. And, you know, I'm showered, ready to go. He comes out, I go, "Where are we going?" "Man, I can't be seen hanging out with you." Later, Sal, he gets in the car, he was pissed. I called him later, I was like, "What was that?" He was like, "Man, I can't hang out with you." you just beat us. I'm like, the game's over. I'm one of those people. The game's over. You won. This is, you know, you shake hands. You keep going. And the problem with what happened was the Boston Celtics 2 years earlier did that to us. Larry Bird walked straight through Adrian Dantley shooting the foul shot at the foul line. Robert Parrish, Danny Ainge. They just walked off court like we wasn't still playing. And we just sat there and watched them. The referee didn't call tech or nothing. He let them walk off the court. And that's how they said, congratulations, you beat us, now go to LA. So Bill and Ben said, let's do them how Celtics did us. My beef was, we weren't the Celtics. We were bad boys. And bad boys at least supposed to give a dap or at least smack them, walk by and bump them real hard. You're lucky if you don't have a game tomorrow, like something. But they decided that's what they want to do. I'm with my teammates to this day. Like, we have a group chat, we talk about getting together. It's always been a thing for me that has been different. So I made sure I didn't put myself in the position. And I begged Chuck to go back in the game so I didn't have to make a decision. I was playing, so I couldn't go back a little, you know. And I figured that was the easiest way of me getting out of it. But that was a team thought by one of our captains. And that's, you're supposed to follow your captain. You're supposed to, that's the way we wanted to do it. I think we should just walk by and bump them, act like we didn't see him, or maybe start a fight. You know, and then say, now take that energy to LA. You know, something like that that would have been more becoming of us.
Yeah. Well, since that time, you have also decided to enter in the cannabis industry. Deuces 22, what sparked that? No pun intended. What sparked that idea, especially at a time when it's sort of innovative? It's very novel still.
Well, I didn't smoke until a month before I retired in 2000. And when I did, we were in the playoffs. And the next day, you know, I deal with pain every day, you know what I'm saying? And I had no pain. I slept, almost overslept missing the bus. I don't sleep that much. I don't sleep that well. And I got on the bus, took off, and it was like almost 5 minutes before he was about to close the door. And I'm usually on first or second. And I sat down and I said to one of my teammates, what was that? And he was like, that was the chronic, Sal. I told you not. I said, y'all smoke that every night? He was like, yeah. I said, man, I played it. I was 50 if I smoked that every night. And I realized that I've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, to believing that this plant was bad for you. And then I just realized it at that time, a lying vegetarian. I know plants are good for you in all forms. Now, the carcinogens may not be what people think they should be, and it does this and that. But man, Dr. Sabi smoked weed. And some of the elders I'm around smoke weed. And it definitely relaxes me, treats me differently. And then my daughter and I were going to start a business, and she smokes weed, and I was like, well, you should be CEO of your own cannabis business. Like, the future is female. And so she becomes CEO, and I become the CVO, Chief Visionary Officer, and I try to get us going. So it's at a point now where she's, she was like, it's time for us to sell this, you know. It was a really tough time because we haven't sold any weed really since last April. Like, we put our time into it, but now we just re-up. And that's because we're vegans, and I'm not going to put a weed inside that's full of chemicals. And a lot of growers were cheating, and I didn't want chemical weed. I'm not saying I want it outdoor, but if I could, and I want it from somebody who is ethical with their food. And I got a guy up there who grows outdoor. He's the same way as Rasta. So he's not gonna eat poorly, and he's not gonna smoke. He's gonna smoke a little bit better than ganja, but he's not gonna smoke chemicals. Yeah. And so I found another boutique grower, and God willing, he does what we're supposed to do. And we should be hopefully selling it to him.
Wonderful. I was going to ask you, how do you approach your business decisions post, you know, playing the NBA with your veganism and your ethical mindset? How have you approached your business decisions going forward since that moment?
I try to piss the NBA off as much as possible. I was in Brooklyn last week with the Brooklyn Nets. I see where I can be, I guess, useful. And I go through something and I'll try it and I'll see what it is, or I'll listen to someone who's been there. And then I think what time I want to give to it, because I'm not in control of time. So, but what my crazy mind may let me think that I control, I only want to do things that make me happy. The less stress, the best it can possibly be. I don't want any stress. And if you will, it got to be a little stressful. If you got to be a snake because you're dealing with a snake, just don't deal with a snake. That way you don't have to be a snake. It's real simple, you know? Or if you have to, you have no choice of dealing with a snake, hire a snake.
Don't do it yourself.
Be the best you can possibly be. Don't ever regret anything. And if you have to literally know that you wrong somebody, if you're okay with that, the universe doesn't mess with me, and karma is a bitch.
How important in maintaining that mindset has the people around you been? How have you approached the intentionality of the people that you surround yourself with?
I told you, I studied a lot. Let me just get to this. So, raised as a Jehovah's Witness, then I found out Jesus was Jewish, and then I studied Judaism. Then I went from Judaism to Buddhism. Then out of Buddhism, I went to India, and I was paying attention to what the Hindi was doing. I did Muslim because I wanted to see exactly why and how it changed Malcolm X to be such a person, and Muhammad Ali. And then I realized, I bought this house in Detroit. The housekeeper used to be a monk, so he explained tons of Christianity from a Catholic perspective. Then I came out here, and if you want to work, I went to the Scientology building. I'm just being serious. back then, so I went in, and they weren't talking religion. They asked me why I was a liar. And they said, to be a liar, you're a coward. And I couldn't understand that. So, this is during one of the courses, but you know, I think I'm hot sometimes. So I get up and I don't finish the course. I get halfway through it. And you're supposed to finish the course, ladies and gentlemen. But I went and I had a 3-hour conversation with my wife. She didn't talk to me for like 3 days. But I was free. And it set me free. And I'm just going to say, to answer your question, I know it's a roundabout way, just to be free and know you can say something and be a certain way and be kind. And honesty without compassion is brutality, said the Dalai Lama. And I just thought that, just being compassionate, being kind. I don't know if I answered your question, but when I said I did this study to change who I was.
Well, I think, did you surround yourself with people that fueled that?
See,
or just came from you?
Yeah, that's another thing why I said I study. You keep looking outside of yourself for answers and you won't get the answers for yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? If someone outside of you tells you you can't do something and you haven't done it yet, then guess what? They're in control of your life. Right? You just can't. You can do anything you want. You can do anything. And it was so funny, I was listening today, I think she's called Lady Boss, and she said she was in South Africa, and she was talking to a guy, and she had a guy who spoke Swahili speaking for her, and the guy said, are you going to come to the party tonight? And she said, I'll try. And he turned and said, are you going to come to the party? She said, tell him I'll try. He went, he goes, are you going to come to the party or not? There is no try in Swahili. Mm-hmm. So if you had a language that doesn't tell you trying is enough, you either do or you don't. That is the powerful. Yoda said that, right? Do or do not, there is no try, right? So it's either do it or you don't do it. You either feel it, which I don't recommend should be your answer to doing anything. It can't just be a feeling, because that's an emotion. You gotta know it, right? It gotta be from your gut, not your feeling from your gut, your answer from your gut. This is called your God answer. So stop looking outside of yourself. Stop looking at other people and thinking that's going to be how you want to be reflected. Be the best you can be, and reflection should happen. Or if it's not a reflection, it would be the light. And there's a meme that says, the sun doesn't give a shit who it burns. So it just shines. Right, so then you have, you're going to burn from it, get out of the way, but shine, don't even reflect.
I love that. How do you approach when you are following that path, but you're required to do something that's so different out of your sort of zone of comfort? You went to Congress and you advocated for vegetarian options in school lunches. And that's something that's different, something that maybe was your calling, but was there any trepidation in doing that? How did you kind of face going to a different arena?
One, I always wanted to go and see what it was like in Congress. I love history, so not American history, but all history. But I wanted to see it. I wanted to, you know, I was with PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, with Dr. Bernard and the whole crew, and then some people from the World Health Organization, Congressman Kissick, I think that's how you say his name, last name. His wife, Allison Felix, and then Montel Jordan's daughter, Winter Crest. I can't believe I just butchered that. But we went in, and when I realized, it may seem like it was a waste of time because there's all these little committees and it just bureaucracy going all the way up, and the smell of it was amazing. I realized that, you never know, seeds are small. So we got there and the wives of the Wisconsin dairy farmers were there crying, like putting on a sob story. And there were lobbyists there. And I just realized we're pushed into so many things because people don't pay attention that laws and rules are being made. And blessing that I didn't have to eat the food from the lunch because my mother made me food from the food we got from the deli that she worked at. So I always had liverwurst and bread and pastrami and all those things that, you know, people think is so good. I had those things. My mother had a garden also, and you know, I had cucumbers and not knowing I was being hydrated. I had real tomatoes, real collard greens, real okra, squash, all of those things. So I would run home and eat and be back at school. I was blessed. But a lot of kids around this country aren't. And when they were going to get rid of the free lunch, that's also getting rid of free breakfast. And if you know anything about what they do, is they still bus kids to schools. So kids from down in La Brea or down close to Crenshaw are bused all the way to Taft in Woodland Hills for 2 hours. They got to be on the bus at 6 o'clock in the morning to get there at 8, and they let them eat breakfast in class. But the breakfast they give them is cow milk and cereal, sugar. So you're giving them pus sugar, and you want them to be great students when they're sleeping, and you want them to be great athletes when you gave them pus and sugar. So then you build pre-diabetics, pre-obesity, high blood pressure, acne, hair falling out, attitude problems. So you're developing and pushing the stereotype of an unruly black kid that's sitting under lights that are literally zapping him of all the energy. So I couldn't get to all of that part. So I get to the part where, hey, if we're gonna give them food and you have to give them food, give them food. Give them vegetarian and vegan options. Give them something that when they eat, they get energy. If you're gonna take it all away, what, why? And it wasn't a black-white thing. Because you're gonna affect more white kids than you are black kids. It's gonna be detrimental to a lot of the black kids that weren't eating when they got home. Or if they were, they were eating fast food. So they were really destroying our culture from the inside and from infancy. So I realized that, and the only way to help or to throw a red flag was to be involved.
What do you think about the state of the plant-based movement today, and what is your role in it going forward?
Well, to be the owners of a podcast like this, we're negotiating. And I just had a meeting with my great agent, Ari Emanuel, and I said I want to be the Ed Sullivan of health and wellness. And he was like, okay, what's that mean? I want to introduce all the things that help you, as opposed to just the things you can possess. The one thing you should possess is good health, right? Health is wealth. And in doing that, I literally want to advertise, like, I got this right here, it's called Life Cider. And if you see, I'm a great marketer because I put it right in the camera lens. And I don't get paid for it. The thing you and I both do, which is so crazy, we gotta stop, is we get these products that we like, and we just tell people about them like, yo, this is the hot. Not realizing people get paid to do that. But we'll work on it. I'll try this coming. But things like that, like being able to have a show that talks about the products and then sell the products through the show, my next endeavor is to be a healthy QVC/home shopping network. Mm. I went to them, and when they broke down that if I came up there and sold the product, I had 7 minutes and I needed to sell 50,000 pieces in order to get 7% of my own product. I was like, I want to be the pimp. How do I get the pimp status? So I decided to build that. So the thing you will see pretty soon on my live or a couple of other lives is us talking about products that pass. This was given to me by a guy named Howard. It's called the Sally Investigative Research, which is SIR. And at first I was going to have a QR code reader and said yes sir or no sir. But then, I didn't want people to go, how do I get on the yes sir list? And I did most of the work was easy because of Expo West, you have to pass a certain criteria to be able to sell there. That made a lot of sense to me. So it took some of the space. And I saw you there one day, but I was there for all three of the four. And you see, I could have said all four, and that would have been a lie. But only I would have known it was a lie. So why should I lie to myself? Just remember that. The smallest lie is a big lie. Okay. So I was there for 3 to 4 days, and I got to go through and see everybody, go back through what I didn't see, and then go back to the people that, to me, passed the SIR test. And got the information and told them. So in other words, it's a plant-based media company that Neil is going to help me with. Nice. He ain't doing shit. He's retired, but hook a brother up.
Nice. We're looking forward to hearing more about those ventures.
Yeah.
We have a little moment to do a little bit of a Q&A. Some questions from the audience. Here we go.
Hello. Hi, John.
Hey.
I am a fan of everything that you've done, from your athlete to being a great TV host. Your latest restaurant.
Yeah.
Are we gonna get any other restaurant?
No. Let me tell you. Once again, Neil saved me again. Neil's like, I'm not invested in that. Like, no. He went down the line of what was wrong. And if he wasn't putting his money there, and my money is my time and my image, so I removed it from all of the restaurants that I was involved with. I plant organics out in San Bernardino. If you're on your way to Palm Springs, it's 420 Hospitality Lane. You know, it's unbelievable. It's on the white side of San Bernardino. About that big. No, it's like a mile from Loma Linda. And the reason I thought it was a great location is because Loma Linda is one of the 8 blue zones in the world. And all those vegetarians would come over to a vegan restaurant. I was wrong. They don't cross the street. They had to be on their side of the street. So, and then I was kind of involved with Compton, Planet Health Compton. God rest his soul, my boy died, like he was in a car accident the week before Thanksgiving, but I had stopped working with him. And then I had Mother Plucker on La Brea, and it was vegan chicken joint. It just wasn't right. And I decided, as opposed to doing one product and sitting on my energy, I might as well, since I get a large amount of views and people believe when I say things, because they should, I don't lie, at least I tell my truth, and I can do a bunch of products. So that's why I do that. Great skin too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so I am kind of in your, like, back in the day when you were in this, like, gray area where you're a fake vegan.
Yeah.
I'm kind of in that era right now. But as you can see, I surround myself with awesome vegans, and I see the benefits. Great skin, you know? But my question to you is, how did you make that change from the gray area of, like, you know, you're still dipping and dabbing to full on, you know, 360, like, you just changed your whole lifestyle. How was it for you? Like, was it something going on, or was it a mindset? Was it health related? How were you able to fully commit to veganism?
That was the longest question. I'm just joking.
See, I'm in that gray area.
Okay, shrimp and lobsters and crabs are roaches and rats in the ocean. A shrimp is a straight up roach. Have you been eating mice, rats, and roaches? Then why would you eat them?
Right.
You wouldn't eat them, you wouldn't catch them. Ooh, they go a roach, ooh, it's gonna be good. Get that bay leaf out, put the roach in. A fish is 100% parasitic, 100%. So it doesn't make a difference where you get the fish from. It's going, if you leave it out for a while, you're going to see the parasite trying to find another host, because it realizes it's not going to live there. So all fish, not a couple of them, all of them. None of those animals is your body requesting any of the oils or the flesh from that for your body to survive. I used to think it was B12, but what was happening is when you were cooking a steak, it was synthesizing the blood for B12 that your body can use. Or you can eat more green leafy vegetables. With the other thing, chicken. A chicken will eat anything, just like a pig. Will eat anything in its way, no matter what it is, it's going to eat it. It's a raptor. That's what it's going to do. And we black folks, when we get chicken wing, we don't even get the chicken with the right meat on it. We get the chicken wing.
Yeah.
Right? And you got to think, man, that makes absolutely no sense. My daughter was like 6 when the girl was like, you're not going to have any chicken? She goes, it's a bird. And she goes, no, it's chicken. She goes, it's a bird. And the more she said it, the more the kid goes, what do you mean it's a bird? She goes, like a pigeon, it's a bird. Will you eat a pigeon? She was like, no. She goes, why would you eat a chicken? She was 6.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I'm going to use that in one of my speeches. You stole that from me, kid. But that thought is, when you eat those things, like I said, you don't like the flesh. You only like the seasoning. So if you like the seasoning, just put it on a spoon, put it on your tongue. Right? Cauliflower is lying about everything right now. It's chicken, it's flour, it's crust, it's rice, it's everything. You know, season that up. You know, it's not bloating, it's not inflammatory. It just got to the point also that it didn't make sense that we couldn't eat humans, but we could eat animals. And people said, well, why would you eat humans? Well, they're built the same exact way. We're mammals, right? We're not designed to eat this way. If you were designed to eat that way, your teeth would be shaped like they're supposed to be. Your jaws go up and down. Your intestines will go along your back, just like a dog and a cat. And I'm a vegan, and I got a dog, and my dog is named Neo, the vegan dog. You can see him on Instagram. He's a white Akita, only white guy in the house. The rest of women and me and my boy just sit there and go, these girls are crazy. Blow that weed down here. But it was those things that I had to literally go in and say, I'm either a vegetarian or I'm a flesh eater. I'm sorry, carnivore. I'm sorry. I'm a predator. Because that's what eats meat. I'm not any of those. I'm a vegetarian. They made this word vegan, so we've gone with it. They've even changed it to plant-based so people can be more relaxed. But the cool thing is, I eat plants that give me energy and living abundant.
A question?
So not only do you have incredible talent, you're also an amazing storyteller. And I think that's how a lot of the messages come across and impact a lot of people. I'm a 20-year cancer survivor, so I'm with you. The systems are broken when it comes to food, and there's a lot of opportunity there. The other piece I see that's broken is the financial system. You've been able to, here's the question, you've been able to take your career in the MBA and expand it like an accordion through your entire lifetime. If you have any advice to fellow athletes, artists, how to be able to plan for that or project that, what would that be?
What kind of cancer did you survive?
Hodgkin's.
Wow, that's a trip. That's a hard one.
Well, they told me that was the best one to have, and I was like, are you crazy?
So cancer is your body, is inside your body, it doesn't come in your body. It's your body fighting. And so that's why it puts things like in a tumor, because your body figures out how to put it in jail. Very American system. but it's literally on the inside of how your body grabs it, but I'm glad you're still with us. What I would recommend is follow your passion. If your passion is playing basketball, only playing basketball, then you gotta find a way to keep you in basketball. My guard Hurley won his second back-to-back championship. His father was a great coach, his brother was a great player. He was a pretty good player himself. He figured out how to talk to these young men to get them to perform. He kept his life in basketball. Jason Kidd, Brian Shaw, Ty Lue, these guys, LeBron James, they loved this and that was their passion. They kept themselves in it. My passion was art, all kinds. Painting, I don't paint, but I can admire it and think about how much to sell it for. I like acting. I was afraid to do stage acting, so I've never done it except like in elementary school. I always liked the screen, movies, entertainment. I did stand up for a while. I found out how hard that job was, but I did it. So I would tell them to find out what they're really passionate about. You don't have all the answers when you're 21, 19, 18. But if you were to sit still and think about what you want your future to be, prepare for that.
And let's do one more here. Last one.
Thank you so much. This is really interesting.
Oh, she's from Cleveland. You can tell by that.
So thank you so much. This has been amazing. And my biggest question, you talk so passionately and so much conviction about veganism, the health benefits of veganism. Ian's on very much with you on a lot of these things, but I wonder, have you had any period in your journey where you've had doubt about the health benefits or the fact this is the right thing to do? Obviously, lots of noise that we hear is you can feel opposite, like eating a vegan on a diet. My sister's a doctor, and she told me that's actually too far. She was like, I love you, and I'll see you when you're young. So I wonder if you've had that doubt in your vegan journey, and if you have, like, how
Yeah, I went to India, and I did this documentary that I still have called The Missing Piece, where I got to go from New Delhi up to Amritsar to the Golden Temple with the Sikhs, Sikh, however you want to call it. And then I went up to Dharamsala, and all these refugees are there, and they had a basketball court. And the Himalayas are right there, so I was like the only player in the Himalayas. Like, I was really in the Himalayas. And they eat ghee in India, right? They feel it's important to have that animal fat for your brain. I got dysentery. So I decided never to eat that shit again. But I was a lying vegetarian then. So, I just say this, if your sister could tell you what animal is good for you to eat, and then tell me what school she went to so I can have her license revoked. Right, so, no, I just, if she could tell me, if she could give me the science on why eating dead carcass fried with barbecue sauce and pepper, how that can be beneficial to the human body, I'm all ears. Let me just give it to you. So muscle, right? The little white things you see going through, that's the fat, right? It goes through all of the muscle. So your body doesn't know what to do with that fat, but when you eat a piece of flesh, it goes into your stomach, and your stomach puts an enzyme around it because it believes it's eating itself. So it doesn't even know how to break that down. And why it takes so long to break down. Two, by the time you're 30, you almost no real acids in the bottom of your stomach. This is why you gain weight after 30, because your body is not digesting the food. You would need to take certain enzymes that we sell that literally digestive enzymes that help you break down the food and for your body to get the signal. It needs to be bioavailable. So when they would tell you, hey, get these protein shakes and they're gonna beef you up, all they do is raise your blood. It's just not how the body is designed to do anything. And the reason I'm a vegetarian is you can see I'm of African descent. I'm an African that was made in America, but I'm an African. And if you were to follow anything that they did with us as Africans, is we didn't eat that way. Even in the bush, they don't eat that way. Then when they go, they literally wait for a lion to kill something, then they scare it off. I seen it. They cut it up, they eat pieces of it, they bring it back in, they salt it, they dry it, they do all these things, and people get small amounts. Sushi, small amounts. You gotta eat the, what's the hot stuff here?
Wasabi.
You have to, right? But Americans don't want to do that. Instead of that, I want the spicy stuff. But you have to. It's put there to kill the parasites. Because they know it's a parasite. Right? So if you can find out and make taste good, like I said, it took me a while to get to this point. I realized taste ended at the back of my throat. Pause. I had to say that instead. Well, y'all don't understand, but I had to realize it. I had to realize that that's all I was doing. And I was taking the life of another being that the universe thought was important to be here. So I don't eat anything that goes to the bathroom.
Oh, I want to thank you for being here. Do we have time for one more?
Yeah, let's
go quick.
Hey, this is great, man. Thank y'all. My question is, where are you at now with your spirituality?
Oh. Spirituality. I am as I am, so say the Lord. I am used to be really versed in the Bible, and then I got the Torah in English. It was totally different, and their Old Testament, it was no Old Testament. Y'all reading crazy. Then I started finding out who all these different people were. And then I realized when I did ayahuasca and I was floating above the circle and I was watching my avatar laugh, and then this guy came over to me and said, hey, we need you back in the circle. And I was like, hell yeah, man. I see how much energy y'all taking from me. I'm the only one not purging. I'm laughing, trying to grab things. And then I realized everything I've ever been taught was taught to me by somebody that was taught from someone else that never knew. And I realized, since you're little, you go to church with your grandma or your mom, because it's important. You go to temple because it's to tell you what you're supposed to be. You do all of these things that you're told to do that give you your spirituality. And as I got older, I realized the connection to the universe is being connected to the universe. If you're connected to the universe, which is developed by the maker of the universe, you are then connected to what you would consider to be God. So I just decided to be connected to the universe, not destroy anything. If I see garbage on the ground, I pick it up. If I see somebody that needs assistance, walk across the street, I look both ways and make sure I'm not getting set up. I help. I'm aware, and that's as close as can be, is I'm aware that there's an unbelievable force that is inside me, and I honor it daily.
Well, thank you for being here. We have one last question.
Oh, you can send a check to...
It's in the mail. What is your one piece of advice to someone who wants to wander well throughout life?
Man. Prince said, I'll be your eyes. If you ever wonder, I'll be your eyes so you can see. Prince Lion was in the door for a talk. I'm going to tell you, this is the only life you get. You do not get another one. We do not know what happens when this one is over. We've been told a bunch of things, but a bunch of years, a bunch of ways, and I'm just saying, this is the only life. Enjoy each moment. Investigate everything you're interested in, live and let live, and enjoy. I'm just telling them, it's the easiest thing in the world is to let people be who they are. With people watching is the best thing. It is. It's the best thing in the world. Like, you don't need, if you want to see some funny stuff, yesterday, driving through Beverly Hills, right at Holmby Hills, there was a guy hitchhiking. So I started smiling, and I went to take a picture of him hitchhiking. When he turned around, his pants was at his ankles. I was dying, and I was so mad I couldn't stop. Because this white dude was just, you know, freeballing and hitchhiking. I was only going to take a picture of the hitchhiker. I guess I would have got more than I thought, but I realized, yeah, this dude was hitchhiking. I haven't seen that since Once Upon a Time in Hollywood movie. Like, I haven't seen it since a movie. If people want to flow like they want to flow, everything, you should never get mad. I know it sounds crazy. If somebody's doing something that pisses you off, it cannot be about what they're doing. It just can't be. It has to be inside you. Period. It cannot be about what somebody else is doing. So if you want to wander, you know, hey, go out there, see, experience, taste, smell, touch, pause. All of that. And now you have life experiences way better than school experience.
Thank you for that one. I'm Mr. John Sally. Where can they find you online? Keep up.
John Sally on Instagram, TikTok, and the John Sally on X/Twitter. My website is being redone, but you'll see some things. And my podcast network, which we have this great podcast, which is great. Podcaster, not you, but it was. I just been talking about this show and how it's the first show I will be producing along with my own and a couple of others. And when you get on it, there will be no negativity. Everything is pushed in the idea. We get enough. If you want to see negativity, you can turn on the news networks, especially the local ones, and tell you all the killings in neighborhoods. And the same answers, man, it was so nice, you would have never known, right? No. The same answer all the time, every night, it's the same thing. They wasn't like that, they were so quiet, they kept to themselves. Those are killers. Obviously, if you tell me that thing, oh, you like this neighbor, they stay to themselves, they're some killers. But if you want some positive, and you want it to benefit yourself, your life, and this world, be what we perform.
Amazing. You can find this podcast at wanderwellliving.com and at Wanderwell Living online. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.